The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook. Use our promo code WMVP. That's WMVP. Must be 21 years or older, Illinois only.
Live from the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio,
Chicago's new home of the White Sox.
ESPN 1000, WMVP Chicago.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, hope you're having a great Monday and your weekend was spectacular. We started the show with lots of optimism. Waddle critiqued the office coffee. But I think for the most part,
I had a second cup and it was better.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm happy for you
Thank
on
you.
That one.
I appreciate
because I was worried. I
know you
were. Was very worried.
Yep.
I think a lot of things are optimistic these days. It's March 1st, so we're getting closer to the end of the tunnel in the winter. We had a great weekend. Hopefully we're getting better, and there's a chance that there will be fans in the stands at our ballparks in a month from right now, and more people are getting vaccinated. I told the story that I got vaccinated on Saturday, so it was a huge, huge step, and I hope to be back in the First Midwest Bank studio coming up here.
Are
in
there
the next
any drinking
weeks.
Restrictions after you get the vaccine? There's no attachment to
you
any.
Know, and like, I always fear that I'm going to be the alcoholic sounding like an alcoholic.
No,
you know, I asked that question.
Of course,
you know, and she said she basically was a drinker too. The doctor and said it goes without saying. Yeah, absolutely, drink up. You're better off drinking. Basically, is what she gave me.
Fantastic.
Sort of joking, you know, but yes.
My kind of doctor.
We open up a bottle of wine that you like, the Chateau Mandelina.
Oh, that's a fabulous red.
Yes. It's usually not one that I skew towards, but we wanted a little change of pace
on
Saturday.
Well done. How was it? Tasty?
Very tasty, of course. Yeah.
Haven't had that flavor in a while.
Yeah. So all things are looking up. The Hawks win yesterday. Patrick Kane got his 400th. We'll play the highlight coming up.
That's a little payback after they had kind of a brain cramp the day before losing to the Red Wings.
Yes, yes.
Kind of a little reminder.
They've been giving up a lot of shots on net, too. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but have you seen their schedule coming up, the Bulls and the Hawks?
They've got like five against the Lightning and the Panthers, I think.
They play three straight against the Lightning. Mm-hmm. This will be unprecedented. Thursday, starting Thursday, they play, I believe it's Thursday, Friday, Sunday. They'll play three straight mm-hmm. against three games in 4 days against, you know, the Stanley Cup champion.
And then they go on the road and face Dallas twice, Florida twice, and then they're in Tampa for two more against the Lightning.
Right. So Patrick Kane put up number 400. The Hawks put up a seven spot. They got a much needed 2 points yesterday against Detroit. The Bulls play tonight. We were talking a little about them. It's Denver, and we'll get to all of them later this hour. The number to reach us is 312-332-3776. Here's the general manager that I told you about, Mike Tannenbaum, on Mondays is on Get Up. He is the former general manager of the Jets and the Miami Dolphins. So he's done this for a lot of years, and he's one of the front office insiders on ESPN. The quarterback carousel and the rumors going around about the quarterbacks have dominated all the national conversation. And when you're a town like Chicago, where you need a quarterback, where your pursuit is endless, year in and year out, draft after draft after draft, general manager after general manager, when you have two guys who could become available who are top five quarterbacks in the league with still lots of years to play, it's going to be big. So this was today, Mike Tannenbaum, the former general manager of the Dolphins and Jets, talking about how the Bears should be at the front of the line for Russell Wilson.
If we're in Chicago, for example, and we're Ryan Pace, the general manager of the Chicago Bears, I'm calling John Schneider, the GM of the Seahawks, and Pete Carroll, and I'm not getting off the phone. If I could get Russell Wilson, who's only 32, who has another 5 to 7 years of great play, that may save my job. This could be this year's Tom Brady. A year ago, Jason Light, GM of the Bucks, on the ropes. Tom Brady comes in. The rest is history. I am doing everything I can within reason and then some to get Russell Wilson. This is a rare, rare opportunity. And Dan's right. The whole narrative has changed. But if I'm desperate for a quarterback, there is no price that is too high.
There you go.
Everything so, within reason. What is reason? I mean,
he said that within reason and then some, which kind of threw me off, right? Because if you're going with then some, then you're not within reason anymore. Right. No, I mean, I give them my draft capital. I mean, tell me of the Ryan Pace drafts. If you pull up all of Ryan Pace's drafts when he was here, what do you believe one of his best drafts were? Or like, what years would you rank, like, as his better drafts?
Well, what year was Roquan Smith? Was that probably his?
That was the year that they got Khalil Mack. So that was 18. He was a rookie in that 18 season.
I think this year's draft, he got Cole Kmet, Jalen Johnson, and Darnell Mooney. That, for them, Roquan. Yeah, it was Roquan, James Daniels, Anthony Miller, Bilal Nichols. That's probably Javon Wims.
That's a good draft, too.
Yeah, that's probably his best draft.
So his second best draft came when he did not have a first-round pick this past year, right? So if you are strapped, but you solve the quarterback position, you could still... The point is, even Ryan Pace, who has not been a great drafter, still had his probably second-best draft without a first-round pick this year.
He found three starters.
Yeah.
Cole Kmet at tight end, Jalen Johnson at cornerback, and Darnell Mooney will be a starter at wide receiver.
So giving up, like, that's why I don't believe giving up multiple first round picks for the next few years. It doesn't mean you can't have good drafts. Most of his picks, rounds 2 through 6, have been better picks anyway than what he's done, you know, at the top of the draft
with
Kevin White and with Mitch Trubisky and with Leonard Floyd.
We have set the bar at a really kind of modest way, modest level. Roquan Smith is a very, very good player. James Daniels, still growing, but a piece there. Anthony Miller, we don't know. Bilal Nichols looks good, but, like, they still have to, before we are high-fiving about that draft, there still needs to be some development made there. But, yes, you're right. I totally agree with your point. I'm just not giving up that draft currency for Sam Darnold.
No. Yeah. No, we're talking about here, we're talking about Wilson specific. And I want to read you this because I get this inevitably every day. This is from Brennan Daly. Brennan says, come on, Selvie. I don't care what Schefter says. There's a 0% chance the Seahawks get rid of Wilson this year or next year. The media is overplaying this whole Wilson situation. This is just like the Rodgers talk about him being traded. Never going to happen. And when the agent publicly comes out and is quoted on record as giving four teams, when Russell Wilson has publicly come out, I think if you go down the stories of the NFL rumors, whether people believed Khalil Mack would be traded or not, the Raiders constantly said he's not getting traded. He was traded. Last year when Adam Schefter in October was being questioned about Tom Brady never leaving New England, he left New England. Jay Cutler, everyone kept telling us, stop talking about it, guys. Never going to happen. It happened. Most of the time, it's actually the opposite. When there's smoke, there is usually fire, and I believe the Deshaun Watson stuff is going to prove this once again, that as soon as the guys like Schefter, the smart ones, the Ian Rappaports, are all in on it, they've basically been told they're going to get dealt. And I believe Deshaun Watson is going to get dealt before the draft. I would bet good money on it.
Yeah, I would too at this point. If you're Seattle, though, like if you zoom out and you look at this from their perspective, Pete Carroll's 70. Like, Pete's not going to do this forever. That team, they've invested, so it's like now. The likelihood that they would trade Russell Wilson for something that wouldn't net you a quarterback that is a viable option now is kind of limited. Like, if you're dealing... Say it's the Raiders. Well, they could trade you Derek Carr. You know, if it's the Dallas Cowboys, who knows? At least maybe you could sign Dak and trade him.
Right.
Like, we've got the 20th pick. Like, what are we giving Seattle so that they can...
He would have to steer the ship. You know what I mean? He would have to say, okay, of these four, I want to be in Chicago. You know what I mean?
This.
Whoa, oh, boy. They just answered your question.
Powered by Points.
This better not be like a letdown,
Chicago's
though,
home for sports.
I can't
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago
app. Think of the news, Sylvie. I am the news giver.
We should start rating the breaking
you
news.
Cannot...
Like on a scale of 10 being the most surprising.
Do you think Lester Holt does that?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
At the news desk?
Well, you're comparing Lester Holt and us.
I'm just saying.
We had a 20-minute conversation about
news.
Who's drawing penises on Waddle's car.
He probably found that funny.
And
Lester Holt's doing
that?
Maybe we need to get Lester Holt involved to finally solve the mystery.
All right, the Bears are freeing up some money. They're releasing veteran corner Buster Skrine. It saves them. I'm looking. It says that there's a $3.3 million dead cap hit, but he would have made $6 million. So they're saving about $3-ish million, it looks like.
They're getting ready to sign Alex Smith.
That's a 1.5. On a scale of 1 to 10.
I'm giving you news.
Listen, I'm with you. It was worthy of playing the sounder. Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's news. Yeah, Schefter tweeted it. This isn't Rogue.
Listen, it's not the news that we want. You want to hear the noise.
Schefter. You got to get rid of like 5 of these guys in order to afford Watson or Wilson. Yeah. So here's one.
It's just the first domino.
Listen,
this is what we've been asking them to do. I mean, not to get rid of guys because we're mean and malicious, but you have to clean up your cap. Not your David Kaplan, your salary cap. You got to clean up your cap. And this was an obvious move for them to do.
I wasn't paying attention to a lot of it after you said Buster Skrine. did they mention that he possibly could retire too? Because didn't he have a huge concussion problem?
Yes, he did. He's struggled with concussions recently.
So, I mean, you wish him the best. But yeah, okay. So there you go. And tomorrow, Pace and Nagy will speak. Usually Pace tells you nothing. Nagy overtalks, gives you a bunch of word salad that usually isn't a ton, but is a little more forthright than Ryan Pace. So we'll see where they go. If you want to weigh in on our quarterback conversation, 312-332-3776. And last week, remember, we had a conversation about Patrick Kane and where he ranks in the Chicago sports history. Where is he as far as the greatest athletes to ever play? I am sure more than ever that he's in the spot that I think he's in. We'll play you goal number 400.
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
All right, last night the Hawks got a win. They surprised us. It's good when you start having higher expectations and they lose a game to a team like the Wings on Saturday, and you're like, oh boy, how they lose that one. And because now all of a sudden you have new expectations for the Hawks.
Those losses are going to happen for a young team trying to define itself, aren't they?
Yeah, and in hockey too. I mean, you know.
That's hockey, baby!
That's hockey. So this was last night. You know, we've been waiting a couple games for it.
He's had some good looks as well that just, like, goalies have made really good saves on.
Yes, yes. So this was, I believe, last night's game was a nationally televised game, too. Sharpie took it in. I think Sharpie has assisted on the second most goals in Patrick Kane's career of the 400 that he got. But this is yesterday on NBC Sports Net with Patrick Kane and the big milestone.
Detroit now will reorganize. Anthony Mantha through center, approaching Calvin DeHaan to the outside of him. They'll lay it back, overskated by Stahl, collected by DeBrinket. Now he and Kane come on a two-on-one. Kane delays, he'll drag it, his shot, he scores! That's hockey, baby! That's 400 for Patrick Kane!
I think the biggest thing is once you start, you know, reaching these type of milestones, you know, 400 goals and 1,000 games coming up, it kind of that leaves you wanting more. So it's exciting to achieve them, and you know, nice to have these type of milestones. Probably means I played a while, but you just want to keep getting better and keep trying to help the team as best as you can. And for me, that's, you know, getting the puck as much as possible and creating plays and try to create some scoring chances. So try to just keep improving on that.
Patrick Kane, goal number 400. Great to see him his entire career. And all the maturing he's done here. Obviously, there were some very rocky times during his Blackhawks time. But he has grown up. He's become a leader now. He's become a father. And it's great to see him now.
That's recent, right? Isn't he recently a father?
Mm-hmm. This offseason,
nothing,
yeah.
No better gift in the world than that.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw this. Chris Kampka tweeted this out from NBC Sports. Do you see he's got exactly 200 goals in home games and 200 goals in road games?
I did see that, yeah.
It's incredible. 199 at the United Center. The one goal that was a, quote, home game was when they were considered the home team in Finland.
Right.
And then he has 200 on the road. And then listen to this. He divided him. Kampka's really good at the stats. In the first period throughout his career, he has 123 goals. In the second period is 137. In the third period is 131. And then 9 in overtime. He is as consistent as they get as well.
He's consistent like Rizzo. He's just more accomplished. But
yes,
the consistency
right,
is comparable.
Level.
Yeah.
And that's why, and like, they Cap brought up yesterday, or not yesterday, last week, that Frank Thomas is a more accomplished player than Patrick Kane. And the more I think about that, Waddle, the more it drives me crazy. That's not to slight the Big Hurt at all. The Big Hurt was a great hitter. For many, many years, he was a great hitter.
Best right-handed hitter in the game for a stretch, wasn't he?
Yeah, for a stretch. Yeah, absolutely.
He and who else? Probably Manny Ramirez at the same, where they intersect at the same time.
I think Manning overall for the longevity now, but Frank didn't cheat either. And Manning, but like postseason does matter, don't you think, too? First of all, I still believe when it's all said and done, Patrick Kane's going to be the better player amongst his sport. And I know, don't tweet me apples and oranges, Sylvie. I know it's apples and oranges, damn it. Of course it's apples and oranges. You got to use some logical thinking here.
I think it enhances. I think your postseason performance certainly enhances your legacy. I mean, like, Charles Barkley never won a title, but that doesn't diminish his greatness or how we feel about him. Maybe his legacy would be even more spectacular if he had had a title or two.
But Charles Barkley led many teams to deep runs in the postseason, including the Suns to the NBA Finals. You know, he's had 40-point playoff games. Do you know how many postseason home runs Frank Thomas has?
I don't know.
One in a White Sox uniform. One year, when the White Sox went to the postseason, 2000, would it surprise you if I told you Frank Thomas went 0-for-13 in the entire series?
Yes, it would surprise me.
Do you know that when Frank Thomas played baseball and was active that the White Sox didn't win a series? They didn't win in 93 and they didn't win in 2000. In 05 he was not active. He is a fantastic Hall of Fame player. Patrick Kane is amongst the best and winningest. When you combine both, when you combine the greatness of being the best American hockey player when it's all said and done, probably the best player ever in a Hawks uniform. They were debating that today, and he will be the best player in Hawks history. That along with three cups in 5 years, being the best player on cup championship teams, having a hat trick in conference championship series, clinching a Stanley Cup after a drought from 1961 through 2010. These are career-altering accomplishments that there aren't many in Chicago sports history who can touch that.
Sound
like
agitated.
That's why he's four in my. He's behind Michael, he's behind Walter, and he's still behind Scotty. And he's number four. If there was a Chicago sports Mount Rushmore of players, Patrick Kane would be on it.
And Russell.
Well, I mean, look, I know that's your sort of, that's what you back into, but am I not wrong?
No, I think these are good conversations for people that people can debate. I don't dispute you. No, I think Kaner's on track to...
I think Frank Thomas has 6 hits in the postseason in a White Sox uniform. 6 hits!
Yeah, no, I agreed with you last week when I would put... I respect the hell out of what Frank did. I'd put Patrick Kane ahead of him in terms of all-time Chicago athletes' accomplishments.
Yeah, yeah. I just... when I watch it, I just say we're watching history right now. And thankfully, I think he's got a lot of years left to accomplish even more. And if you want to say, well, Frank hit 500-some home runs and Kane's only got 400.
Kaner's 32.
But I also remind you that they play half the games in hockey as well. You know?
No, I think if you, like Carmen and the good kid were saying today, he's going to be a point-per-game guy unless, God forbid, any injuries. That's kind of, you know, that's what he's been in his career. He's played 996 games, and he's got a total of 1,056 points. If he stays healthy, and as you mentioned earlier, he's dedicated to his family and to his craft, his sport, he should be able to play at a very high level for, what, the next 5 years?
Yeah, at least. Like,
so 5 years?
PB was telling us 8 to 10, he thinks, the way he rededicated his body.
42 years old in hockey? Isn't that?
That's what PB texted us last week. Andy's in New Lenox. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Andy?
What's going on, boys?
You tell us.
Yeah, Sylvie, I agree with you, man. That Thomas guy was a bum. I'm with you.
He's not. See, that's not what it is. Like,
I know.
Again,
I know.
Like
just kidding.
It's not just postseason, or it isn't only postseason, but a person's legacy can certainly be ramped up, and it's not like Robert Horry. I'm not doing this with Robert Horry players, but when you're talking about greats against greats, I think how high they lifted all these teams matters. And
no, I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
Other than what Michael Jordan did, we haven't seen anything in our lifetime like what the Blackhawks have done in this city.
I'm totally with you. I just wanted to, I know we're all having fun here, so I don't want to ruin everyone's good time, but I had some information. I know you guys have probably seen that the Bears hired Tom Herman from Texas.
Yeah.
That's kind of a weird move. I was telling Abdallah, this just screams to me that the Bears are going to do everything they can to make sure that they draft Sam Ehlinger. I want no business with Sam Ehlinger. I don't think he's necessarily that good of a player. But this totally screams to me like the Bears are hiring Tom Herman so they know that they can draft Sam Ehlinger, and when they have him in the building, they have Tom Herman. So I would just, for me personally, mentally, I'm preparing myself for the Bears to definitely kind of move up and make sure they get Sam Ehlinger. Probably not first round, but I'm just preparing myself for that. So I wanted to hear what you guys think about
Sam
that.
Sam Ehlinger's projected late in the draft, isn't he? I mean, 5th, 6th, 7th round. Isn't that what you were saying, Adam? Like, I would not worry that they're going to move up high to draft Sam Ehlinger. If they pick Sam Ehlinger in the 5th or 6th round, I'm not going to bellyache about it. I mean, like, if you want to, they should be drafting a quarterback every year at this point.
Look, if he could help them a little bit, this sounds to me exactly what Nick Saban does with college coaches, except this is just on a pro level. This is a guy who's going to probably be coaching a college team again, who's rehabbing his image for a year, right?
I wouldn't look too much into this. This is a guy that's probably in between jobs. He got a buyout from Texas, right? Did he not?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, so he's not getting, like, he's not costing the Bears anything. Dude loves football. He wants to ball coach. So he's going to come to Chicago and hang out with the Bears. He's going to have a title, but, I mean, I really don't anticipate this having any real impact on what their plans are.
Isn't Bill O'Brien coaching under Saban this year? Isn't he the new reclamation?
He's the new offensive coordinator.
And then didn't they hire another former guy, too? Every year it's a new guy. They stay for a year or two, and then that guy ends up going and getting a job, right?
Yeah, but Nagy's not Saban. Like, let's not...
It's a quick stopover.
He had Helfrich. He gave him the little tryout there.
And then we had
Project. But he was a coordinator. Yeah. That was like a job. This is like a
He's an analyst.
They all work together, do they not?
They always tell us about the communication.
Herman's an analyst. I believe Herman will probably be here a year.
Yeah, I don't think this is a lot. Look, I have no insight into this. Tom Herman's been a head coach in college football for a long time. He's made a ton of money. He's got more money coming to him. Wants to stay in ball. He's got an ally in Matt Nagy. And so he's going to be around the game. This is what these guys, this is their life. It's their lifeblood, is to be around the game. I wouldn't read into this being some huge addition that manifests itself in something large. I may be wrong, but like, this to me sounds like a guy doing a friend a favor, a guy that he respects, going to bring him in.
Get him a job.
Get him a job, put him on a staff. Yeah, and then next year he may get himself a college head coaching job again.
Maybe he'll get to call plays one week. Who knows?
You know how they pass it out there. We never know who's calling plays. Ricardo on Twitter says it could be the opposite. I'll tell you what that is next. And also, Zach LaVine, can he be the cornerstone that many of us believe he can be? Arturis answers that question coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office, just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, the Bulls play tonight against Arturis Karnishevis' former team, the Denver Nuggets. They're in town. Another test for the Bulls. And Karnishevis never speaks. I was just talking about this with Black. I mean, very rarely does he speak publicly or do interviews. So what
was
this like?
Billed as his pre-All-Star availability.
Right.
I'm pretty sure the Bulls kind of gave a heads up that this would be coming down the pipe like a couple weeks ago. Didn't they say something that they'll figure out where they're at and they'll talk?
I remember that. Like at some point that they'll talk. I don't remember when, but I do recall something of that.
Yeah, it's like Ryan Pace too is the same way, where Ryan Pace you hear once at the beginning of the year. And then I don't think you hear him at all during the season. You only hear him at the end of the year. And that usual, hey, is Ryan Pace going to get fired? Oh, no, he didn't get fired. Now he gets to speak. And then here at the Combine tomorrow, you know, even though it's not the Combine. But isn't that basically his schedule?
I think so.
And then he gets the flagship treatment where he does like a weekly interview, but he never answers anything.
Usually he's right around the corner peering.
Yeah, that's the best picture ever, isn't it? In baseball, around the wall, peeking in. All right, so I'm interested because I have not read what he said. Black, you take us through this. I mean, I teased the one about has Zach proven if he's a cornerstone? Is that where we're going to start?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the piece of Bulls conversation we've dissected the most, right, this season.
Yes. Yeah.
So here's AK. His response: has Zach LaVine proved that he's a franchise cornerstone player?
I mean, he's deserving right now. His accolades and and made an All-Star game, and we're really proud of him. We constantly in games, because of his play. So he's been establishing himself as a leader of this team, and we've improved dramatically because he's impacting winning, so that's why I think is for the, besides his numbers of 29, 5 and 5, which are amazing, he's also impacting winning. And that's why this team is, fighting for a playoff spot.
All right.
Is that a yes?
I think that's the important part about winning. It's not just, like, every game they win is because of Zach, in my book. There aren't many guys on this team. Like, their second best player is Thaddeus Young, don't you think?
Yes, right now.
And what does that say? A journeyman, guy off the bench is their second most impactful player. This is going to be interesting, too, Waddle. We always talk about this with...
I will say this real quick. I think he does leave himself some room to, I'll make a decision at a later time. Like, he was very complimentary, but he wasn't like, look, Zach LaVine is the Chicago Bulls. I'm not telling you that I'm not reading anything into it. I just think he was very judicious about his response, being very complimentary, but also not being really definitive about everything.
Right, right. He didn't commit. No. Yes, I'm giving him supermax money at the end at the end of the contract. No, no. But and I think it's going to be interesting because a lot of these guys that we have analyzed throughout the years, whether they, you know, in the Bulls with Pax's guys, with the Blackhawks with Bowman's guys, with the Bears with Pace's guys, Han and Theo and Jed, Cubs and Sox, that those are all their guys. This is going to be interesting because none of these guys are his guys. Mm-hmm. So when Coby White is up and down, will he have a quicker trigger to pull a move off because it wasn't his guy to begin with? With Markkanen, you know, it's going to be an interesting thing because you don't want to trade him when his stock is completely low. But Wendell and a lot of these guys, will he move away from them quicker simply because he's got no real connection over him putting in all the work of drafting these guys?
So two players you just mentioned, let's go down those two paths. He was asked, what do you think of the backcourt pairing, Coby White and Zach LaVine? Here's his answer.
Again, Kobe's played now 32 games at the point guard position. So, you know, Zach has been unbelievable. Also closing games for us, I think he's been one of the biggest scorers in the fourth quarter every game. So those guys' contribution has been unbelievable for us to win games. We're still looking for, you know, combinations. I mean, our bench was unbelievable, you know, and they helped win games. So I think, you know, those guys are still learning how to play with each other. I think they're just going to get better.
So a whole lot of sidestep there.
Right, right. I don't think he said much about Coby.
No.
And again, like my biggest fear is Coby doesn't. The offense just doesn't, and you don't have to be a, quote, true point guard. So I want people to get off of that. But I think the offense runs better when, like, Satoransky is in there. You know, and he's taking the open shot when he needs to and hitting him. And then he's finding the open man or finding the open man who's going to find the other open man for another shot. You know, the hockey assist. But I worry about Coby. And Coby, to me, it's not just his point guard skills that has concerned me. He doesn't shoot it as well as I thought he was going
streaky.
To.
Streaky. He's very streaky.
Very. And when a lot of open shots he misses. He hits the front iron. And maybe, again, he's overthinking, and it's just not coming fluid, and it's very early, and he's only 20. But with every game that goes by, I'm like,
you want
he's still young. I mean, he's still, what is he, 21?
Yeah, 20,
and this 20, is his second year.
Here's AK, here's AK on Lauri Markkanen. Has he met expectations? Here we go.
I think development is number one thing with all of our players, you know, and especially with Lauri. And I think, you know, the things that we met before the season and, you know, kind of like, you know, set the expectations for Lauri, I think he met, you know, again, he, you know, obviously before he got hurt, he was, you know, 19 and shooting, you know, 52% from floor and, you know, 40 from a three. That's, I think that's what he can do on a daily basis. So, we can't wait for him to come back and help this team win games.
The more you knows, the less confident you are.
You think so?
I think so. I think
he's
that's
like
human
searching
nature.
For words
I think
to
that's
say
human
the right
nature.
Way.
Yeah, for all of us. When we're answering questions and we consistently, all of us, lean on the you knows, I think we lack a little confidence in what we're the conversation we're having. Or we're unsettled. Or we're not as happy as we
right,
want to
sure.
be. Or
let me give you guys one more, because Waddle more. Pointed out this answer. He saw it on social media. So AK was asked whether or not the Bulls will look to trade players with high stock value in the future. Here's AK's response.
I mean, I never look, you know, at players as trade commodities. I mean, you know, right now we, you know, like I said, you know, focus on winning games because that's, you know, the separation between fourth and 10th place is a game and a half. So this group is doing pretty well. And hopefully, like I said, you know, we can get Lauri back and OP and see what we can do with this team. And had a pretty good month in February. with a winning record. So we'll see what we can do. And, you know, when trade deadline comes, you know, like I said, you know, I think now 12 or 13 teams are in the East. So I just think that to improve, and like you said, you know, there's not going to be a lot of sellers. So I think we're just going to focus on our guys and how to get them better.
When is the trade deadline, guys?
It's next month, or now it's this. I think it's at the end of this month. I'll Google it because I looked at it recently.
Like the 24th or the 23rd or something like that?
The reason I say that is because, like, you've got a nice stretch of time here against better competition where things will even themselves out.
The next eight games are tough.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Denver. And New Orleans hasn't played great, but they're, you know, that's not going to be an easy game. You get Philly. Miami's a team in Toronto. Those are teams like... I will be shocked if the second half of the NBA season looks anything like the first half of the season for a lot of these teams. Like, do we expect the Miami Heat?
No, they had a lot of COVID issues.
Yeah, I mean, like the whole Eastern Conference is going to look different the second half of the season, in my opinion.
That's why I wasn't putting all this stock in them making the playoffs.
Right.
And I personally think it may be better for them to play the lottery game one more year. Because I don't truly believe they're ready for the postseason. And that's why I've been so complimentary to Zach, too. Like, everything you heard Karnishevich say, though, is has it impacted winning? So if you look at all the building, the quote building blocks, okay, that Pax has aligned going into this year before this year's draft with Patrick Williams. Has Coby White lived up to the billing this year? Do you think it's been a good year, even or down, from your expectation?
For me, I think it my expectations are high, but I would say about even for a 20-year-old kid that is finally playing with a coach that knows how to develop talent.
I've been more disappointed than that. So whether it's
fair.
Even or disappointed, I think Lowry, we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
Disappointment,
you can't
right?
Stay healthy.
Wendell, disappointment, right?
Yeah.
So all these other core guys are disappointing or haven't lived up to the billing, yet Zach is impacting winning more than ever, and they're winning more games. So that's why I'm complimenting Zach, because I think the crew around him has not paced with him.
Well, I think there's a chance, too, and I agree with what you're saying. I think there's a chance that that crew may be on the wrong side of a lot of these games in the second half of the season as well.
Yes.
Because, again, teams are, you're going to play better teams. The strength of schedule, it's significantly harder in the second half. And this is when, like, think about the Miami Heat. Not only do they have COVID issues, but, like, they were playing until, what, 4 weeks or 6 weeks before the season started up again? Like, you can't tell me that some of these teams aren't or haven't paced themselves.
Right, right. And Toronto has been playing in Tampa, you know?
Right.
Like, that can't be easy. So 312-332-3776. Good stuff there. I wasn't anticipating that today. Interesting stuff from the Bulls, and again, they play tonight. Bittersweet for some Cubs fans hearing this radio station on Sunday, but I will say it was more sweet than bitter. We'll play it for you next. The 5 o'clock hour on Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by my guys at The Home Loan Expert. If you're an active service member or retired veteran, let them get you the loan that you earned. Visit HeroLoan.com.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
So we had a baseball debut on this radio station. First time we've had the White Sox since 2005. We'll have a game tomorrow afternoon. We'll be on right after that. Right after the game, we'll talk to Len Casper. We'll also have our reaction to what the Bears brass had to say. Remember, tomorrow, Pace and Nagy are speaking. It's in place of their press conferences of what would usually take place.
My guess is it's going to be a very collaborative effort in the press conference.
They may finish each other's sentences. One may start, the other finishes. We're going to collaborate. So we'll play that coming up tomorrow. This was the booth yesterday with Len Casper and DJ.
Len and DJ with you. The sun is shining here in Glendale. Temperatures in the 60s. Brewers and White Sox. It'll be the first of 29 Cactus League games for the White Sox. They're now managed by Tony La Russa. Nice to see Tony La Russa back in a White Sox uniform wearing number 22 in the home dugout.
very excited when I thought about it for a few minutes after the fact that we signed Tony to come on as our manager. I thought about it, go, okay, that's a direction I didn't see coming. But when I had it settle in, I realized I love the move. So I'm excited to see what he can do this year with this club.
No current Major League player was alive when Tony began his big league managerial career in 1979.
All right, stop it. Don't go there. You're talking about age. I'm not a young kid anymore. I was around back then.
Well, we're on a 3-2, and Engel pops one deep to left, back toward the wall. It's gone. That is a two-run homer for Adam Engel, and the White Sox are on the board, trailing 3-2. That was a bullet.
Good stuff right there from Len Casper.
Smooth
and DJ.
Smooth and easy listen.
Yeah, and if I would have told you when I was listening, I was chuckling to it a little bit because they were talking about La Russa. If I would have told you last September, okay, wipe everything out of your memory that you know now from this effed up year. But if I would have told you that Len Casper would be broadcasting White Sox baseball, introducing Tony La Russa as the new manager of the White Sox, and I would have brought this up on a show last September, what would you have said?
Get a drug test.
I know, right? Isn't it amazing?
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's been a strange year, but it's setting up to be a really exciting year on the South Side, and we're going to be along for the ride, which is fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam Engel, too, is someone that they need, you know, with the platoon in right field. They didn't go big. They brought back Eaton. So whether how much, and I think I heard recently, too, Len say that he thinks Engel's going to get more run than people think. So he had a good year in the shortened year last year. We know he can play defense. Can he swing the bat all year long?
Well, you're going to be able to hear White Sox baseball on this station tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow, and then we'll be on right afterwards with Len. Did you see the video? And I'm glad someone brought it up to remind me on the Twitch app, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Did you see the video going around? Cutler's back, first of all.
I did, saw that.
He's shredding. So he's shredding. I don't know. Do you think he's doing some sort of a reality show out there?
No, I think he's just, he and Mark Block love to ski.
He's just enjoying life right now.
Well, Mark Block lives in Denver now, I believe, so I think they've been, you know, he's been Jay's marketing guy forever.
Got $100 million in the bank.
Yeah.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, right. Do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
So someone wanted, I guess, like in the restaurant area, we always say how cool the Vail area is with that in that regard. They're walking down the street, I guess, and then the video starts here where this guy in a bar sitting outside wants Cuddy to take a picture with him. It was either a picture or an autograph. I think it was a picture.
I think it was a picture, yeah.
And Cuddy says, if you chug your full pitcher of beer, I'll take the picture with you. Sure enough, the guy chugged the full pitcher of beer.
And Cuddy took a picture with him.
And Cuddy shook his hand, too, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people had headed to the mountains during COVID to go out and ski. It's something to do outdoors that I think in some ways is accepted more than, I mean, listen, you're out on
the... You can't golf in the snow.
No,
so.
You can't.
Right.
So, I mean,
might as well ski in it.
It's like golfing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought it was cool, though, that Cuddy took a picture.
I don't think he's out there filming a reality show, but I don't know.
Didn't he tell us in the tweet, not that this is alluding to a reality, but you know how good he's been on social media, how good he was on Kristen's reality show. Didn't he tell us on our Twitch Super Bowl day that he had something in the hopper?
Yes, I think he's got a couple of irons in the fire, but I don't believe it has to do with a reality show.
Because it doesn't have to do with football broadcasting either.
Right.
Didn't he say that ship has sailed?
I believe so.
We'll see what Jay's got planned. What do you boys have planned here in
yeah,
two
what are we
short
doing?
Minutes?
Sports!
All right.
Alex Smith, I guess. That's how we feel. Alex Smith, I guess. AK talked. We'll talk about the Knicks. Joakim Noah's retiring.
I thought he had retired.
Wow.
No, I thought that had been
mean.
The plan. No,
that
I thought
was
that
what
was
we
the
had
plan.
Heard.
Mean.
He filed the papers.
Yeah. It was the plan.
And Song of the Night, it's One Hit Wonder Week. For Song of the Night.
Ooh. Jimmy Butler commented on Noah's Instagram page, "Thank you for showing me the way," in all caps, "effing legend with two hearts." So Joe getting a lot of
love. He was
love
our leader.
Today. Yes, he was. All right, Black and Abdallah in 2 short minutes. Great work by them. Thank you for calling today. We had no guests. We just talked amongst ourselves. We talked to you. That's the way we like it. 312-332-3776, the number to talk to Black and Abdallah in 2 short minutes. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.